Wow, what wonderful worship we had this morning. Thank you to Nico and Michael and Jeff Craven for the way our team always leads us into the throne of God. Welcome to Shepherd Church Online at thousands and thousands and thousands of homes, not only across the country, but also around the world. It's a blessing to be with you and say Happy Father's Day. And I have to say, Jeff Craven's a great worship leader, but he's not as great at telling dad jokes. If you missed the opening of the service, you got to go back and see that. It's funny and maybe just a little bit embarrassing. Well, we're hoping that within, I don't know, a few more weeks at any rate, we'll be able to gather together and worship. But until then, there are going to be some great things happening right here at Shepherd Church Online. I do want to mention that next Sunday, we've got five young people from this congregation who are going to be speaking and sharing in what we call the Next Gen Sunday. It's going to be a Sunday when you're going to get to hear some students that grew up right here at Shepherd and are already, even though they're in their late teens and 20s, ready to step into the pulpit and share God's word. I've heard their messages. They are great. I'm telling you, I'm going to be put out of a job. So next Sunday, have a watch party. Gather some friends together and join us as we share. Well, Father's Day reminds us of many things, but one of the ways it reminds us is the way that family is important at Shepherd. All different styles and shapes, large families, small families, singles, everybody is part of the Shepherd family. And so we wanted to do a little something special around Father's Day to honor our dads and our families, both the kids as well as the seniors. Now, let me explain. In fact, let me show you. Students submitted Father's Day cards, and we had some amazing, these are homemade cards, some amazing cards. These are by our younger students, and here's some by some of our older students. It just beautiful ways to honor their dad. There were many of them submitted. These six were the winners of our Father's Day contest.
And these are the brave folks who made the decisions about who the winners were, our vintage ministry seniors, professional grandpas and grandmas, one and all.
And we were just going to read the names of the kids, but thanks to the brilliance of our tech team, I'm told we're going to be able to actually have them with us. So let's see if this works. Can we get... there you are. Hi, guys. This is awesome. Happy Father's Day. Congratulations on being winners. And let me introduce you. First, our youngest, Jeremy Netty. Now, Jeremy, how old are you?
5 and a half.
Oh, okay. And can you tell me something great about your dad?
He's strong. He helps people.
Uh-huh.
He's very good at working.
Oh.
He gets a lot of money.
Wow.
And he has a big heart. He prays with me every day.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jeremy, and congrats. Then Noelle Lee. Noelle Lee is our next older category. Hi, Noelle. How old are you?
I'm 9 years old.
Okay. And can you tell me something great about your dad?
Something great about my dad is that he helps me with my homework and cooks really good meals.
Wow, you have a dad who cooks. That's pretty impressive. Okay, Josiah Carrillo. Can we get... There's Josiah. Hey, dude. Congrats. How old are you?
I'm 11 years old.
Okay, and can you tell us something great about your dad?
Something great about my dad, that he's always been there for me, and he always spends time with me.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, you did a beautiful card. Congratulations, Josiah. Our oldest winner is a high schooler, Katie Wynn. Katie, hey. Katie, how old are you and what grade are you in?
I'm 14, and I am a sophomore in high school.
Awesome. Well, tell me something great about your father.
Something great about my dad is the effort he puts into our relationship. He really takes time to be present in me and my brother's lives. And I really appreciate that because I know a lot of people don't have that.
Boy, that is really true. Thank you so much, Katie. In fact, congratulations to all of our winners. Four of them are right here. You guys are the future of Shepherd. You want to say bye? Go for it.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. Now, two of our winners were not able to be with us. One of them, Ray Matignus, our youngest winner, sent in this photo, which if that doesn't just make you sweat. That's just so sweet. Thank you. Thank you, Ray and family. And Ariadne Botello, we want to say congratulations to all of them, our Father's Day card winners. So clap a little bit at home there, would you, for them? You know, Father's Day connects to our legacy series because Father's Day is in itself a legacy. Did you know who started Father's Day? I didn't. I had to look it up. Now, the Mother's Day had been around a while when 110 years ago, a Christian woman up in Washington, the state of Washington, named Louise Todd had an idea. Now, her full name is Serrano Louise Smart Todd. That's a lot of names for this little kid. And this is her when she became a woman. She really loved her dad. In fact, I can appreciate her admiring him. Her dad was a farmer in the state of Washington who lost his wife in childbirth. There were six children in the Todd family, and this single dad raised all of them well. And so Louise thought, it's just not fair that fathers don't have a day. So she went to her pastor and said, hey, could our church do something? Well, that church did. It spread around the community. And within a few years, a president said, this needs to be a national day of honoring fathers. So happy Father's Day. That's the legacy that Louise Todd left behind. And it's my prayer that all of us as fathers are going to be leaving a legacy behind for our children as well. As a dad, I'll confess, there are times I'm a little nervous about my legacy. It may not be as rock solid as the redwoods, but I'll say this, I'm at least trying to do a good job. I'm proud that all three of my boys are kind to their mom and sweet to me. In fact, when they were young, on Father's Day, they would actually make me breakfast in bed. Now, I think mom had a lot to do with that. In fact, I still remember the first Father's Day after my youngest son had gone away to college. No boys there at home. I drove to church thinking about it that morning and was getting up and just starting into the lesson at our early service when my phone went off. Now, normally I leave it over on the pew, but I, for some reason, had it in my pocket. And, you know, it's zzz, zzz, and you can hear the bell, and so I thought, well, I got to turn it off. But when I pulled it out, it was my youngest son calling me on Father's Day. And I thought, I'm just going to put this on speaker and let him do it. It was not a wise choice. I put it on speaker and said, hey, Spence, how you doing? And he said, oh, happy Father's Day, Dad. I thought you'd be busy. I was just going to leave a message. I said, that's okay. Tell me what you wanted to say. He said, well, I need $125 and wonder if you could put it in my account because a friend of mine and I are going to go to a concert, and I promise I'll pay you back. Yeah, the congregation laughed, and I thought, you know, so much for my Father's Day legacy, right? I suppose it's as good a way as any for me to introduce the first concept that I need to so we can kind of clear the decks on Father's Day. Every father wants to leave the perfect legacy behind. Every dad starts out holding that little baby and saying, I'm going to be the best father in the world to you. We all want to be the father who the proverb writer talked about in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, where he says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They're a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Oh, man, isn't that what you want your kids to say? My dad's advice is like a gold chain around my neck. Well, unfortunately, while every one of us wants to leave a perfect legacy behind, there's no such thing as a perfect father on earth. We're all flawed and faulty. You know, sometimes you see other families and you think, man, I wish I could be a dad like that dad. You go in a restaurant and you see dad with the kids and mom, and maybe dad leads the prayer, maybe dad's telling a joke, and all the kids are looking at him and laughing. As a dad, I can remember sitting in a restaurant watching that and thinking, I just wish that was my family. I almost walked up and just went over to sit with them, but then my family would have been pretty upset if I'd have done that because they were squabbling and fighting over who was going to have the cell phone to play a game on it. Hey, can we just be honest? All the dads that are watching and listening, we're just doing our best. Can I get a oh yeah? And out of all the families, can we all admit there's none of us that are perfect? I even thought, well, maybe I'll look for a biblical father that I could kind of frame this sermon around. Pastor Dudley has said so much about his wonderful pastor dad who blessed him and all his sons. And I thought, you know, maybe there's a biblical example of a dad that we could look at. But as I started looking for dads with great legacies in the Bible, you know what I found? I found a lot of brokenness. In fact, I found a lot of dysfunctional families. I mean, seriously, here. I mean, I just started in Genesis. Adam's sons killed each other. Abraham sent one of his baby sons out to die because he'd made the other mama mad, Sarah. You got to look that one up. How about Jacob? Jacob's 12 sons attacked and killed some of their in-laws and caused such a stink that they had to leave town. And Jacob said, "You made us a stench upon the land." Not a great father legacy. How about David? Oh, David's son Absalom started a civil war and wanted to kill him and take the throne. Now, I know there's some of you that are saying, "Oh, come on, Pastor Jeff, those are Old Testament dads. They're all messed up. If there's New Testament dads, they should be better." Well, one would think so. So I thought, who'd be the best dad in the New Testament? How about the father of Jesus? Oh, yeah, Joseph, who when he found out that his betrothed Mary was pregnant, wanted to divorce her quietly and had to have an angel talk him out of it. Not throwing him under the bus, just saying Jesus was right. When that man came up to Jesus and said, "Oh, good teacher," and Jesus replies this way in Luke 18, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. There is no perfect father." I do remember on a Father's Day, a kid in a Bible class saying, "Wouldn't Jesus be the perfect father?" And I had to break it to her. Jesus was never married. Jesus didn't have kids. So no, he can't get the Father's Day card. But he does help us out. In the New Testament, in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, Jesus gives us a glimpse of what could be the world's greatest father, at least a father who was great enough. In a story that is, well, it's a favorite parable the world over, and my favorite parable of all the ones that Jesus tells. It's often called the prodigal son, but I want to call it for today the good enough father. You see, the Bible says that this man had two sons, and they were difficult children. We see that in the story, but we can still learn some things from the way he handles himself. So let's launch in. Luke chapter 15, and we'll begin in verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." All right, the first thing we find out about him is he's got two sons. I had a friend who says you're not really a parent until you have two kids, because you have one and you think, hey, you got it all worked out, and then you have another one and they're completely different and it's all messed up. I have three boys. I can amen that statement. Each one of them were different. Each one of them had different skills, and each one of them drove me nuts in different ways. So here is this guy with two very different sons. Those of you who have read the story knows that one of his sons is just wanting to get out and party, and the other one is the straight-laced guy who's always doing what's right, and he ends up irritated at the end of the story. So, what can we learn from this father? Six ways that a father can be good enough, and here's number one. He was good enough by being loving enough to have rules. Why do you think the prodigal son wanted to get out? Why do you think he just didn't have his wild parties there at the house? May I suggest that, like any good dad, this dad had rules. And so when the son comes to him and says, "I want my inheritance, I want to get out of here," it's the classic moment when a parent has to decide, what am I going to do? How will I respond? And will I love enough to have rules? I love John Roseman, the parenting writer, who said in a conference that I saw him in, "You are the parent. You're not their buddy, you're not their best friend, you're not the one they're going to chill with. Be their parent. You have permission from God to do that." Don't you love that? Dads, let me tell you, this is no excuse and no opening for you to be brusque or rude or harsh with your kids. But you do have the right, as a parent, you and mom, to make the rules in the house. Because it seems that the prodigal son father had enough rules that that kid wanted to get out of here. Parents, love your kids enough to bug them with your rules because they will thank you for it later. Second, he was wise enough to know when to let go. Now, this is an interesting moment when the boy comes and says, all right, Dad, I know you're not dead yet, but I want the insurance money now. I want my inheritance money now. That makes my head explode to think if any of my kids would come and say, listen, I'd like my inheritance now, Dad, so you may have to sell the house so I can have a third of it, and I'd like a third of the cars. That kid would not get the response that this father gave. And I don't think it's because this father wasn't gracious. I think it's because this father was wise. What does the scripture say that he did? The Bible says, so he divided his property between them. It was a moment when he had to decide whether he was going to drop his rules or he was going to let go. Whether he was going to say, oh no, son, don't leave because I don't want you to go out there and get in trouble, or whether he was going to say, you know what? If you're going to live in my house, you're going to have to live by my rules, so fine. Here it is. Now, this whole situation just gets tougher as the son goes out and squanders the money and turns his back on his father's ways. But it tells us something else about the dad. Not only was he wise enough to know when to let go, but he was patient enough to wait and watch. Now, what was he waiting and watching for? I know dads would say, for the kid to screw up and for him to be able to say, see, I told you so. Okay, that would be my response. But there's something else it seems this father is watching for. He's watching for the moment where he can be invited back into his son's life. If you're a dad, if you're a parent who has a child that you've become estranged from, maybe it's just because he or she is so different from you and you have a hard time getting along, can you take a clue from this father who said, okay, if you're going to go out and be crazy, you're an adult, it's your choice, but then waited and kept an eye peeled. You see, his legacy was already there in his son's mind. You say, Pastor Jeff, what are you talking about? When the boy leaves in the story, he blows his money basically on wine, women, and song and ends up in a pig pen feeding pigs because he's about to starve and even thinks about eating the pig's slop. And then this thought hits him. Take a look. Jesus says, the young man thought, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. What does that tell you about that dad? That dad was keeping the relationship open. That son knew that if he needed him, if he was absolutely flat on his bottom, he could go to his dad and say, I'm sorry, Dad. Please forgive me. He wouldn't have made that trek if he was sure his dad was going to say, oh, yeah, here you come home after all this. No way. I'm not having you back. I'm so thankful that my father was the kind of father who, even when I was foolish and rude and embarrassing to him, oh, he'd get upset and there'd be punishment, but he never closed the door of relationship with me, even when we saw things completely differently. This father wasn't perfect, but he was patient enough to keep the door open. And by the way, God is too. Peter, who knows a lot about needing patience with his mistakes, wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, that is, the promise of bringing judgment in the end of the world, as some understand slowness. Instead, get this line, he is patient with you. Why? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's why the Father is patient. He is patient so that you and I can say, man, that path that I thought was going to be so great ended me up in the drunk tack. Man, that path that I thought was so wonderful ended me up busted, broke, and alone. And the Father says, I'm always here. I was talking to a gentleman struggling with his faith And I said, have you talked to God about this? And he said, I don't think God will listen to me anymore. And I had to grab him by the shoulders and say, he is your father and he loves you and he will never shut the door to your calls. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? Well, the story continues in this way. While he, that's the prodigal son heading home, was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. Now, this is a big deal. I want to point this out to you. Look here. It says, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And do you see that word right there? He ran to his son. Do you know why that's important? Men in those days, men of stature, fathers, wore long robes. And in order to run, they'd have to hike their robes up, showing their bare legs, which nobody did in proper society, for that dad to run to his boy, not stand on the porch and wait for the penitent sinner to come, but to run means he was willing to be gracious. He was willing to be forgiving. And he wanted that boy to know, I will run to you, son. And how did he even know he was there? Well, the Bible says while he was a long way off, his father saw him. Now, the only way I can figure that the dad would see him when he was a long way off is if that father made a practice of glancing out at the road, maybe to see if his son was there. So let's add one more way that this father was good enough. He was, number four, gracious enough to forgive and to embrace his son. When his son makes the famous speech, oh, Father, I've sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. His dad's response, so gracious. The scripture says, but the father said to his servants, quick, pick the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. The Bible says after he'd thrown his arm around him and kissed him, by the way, that was before he'd apologized. Dads, are you hearing that one? That's tough. Before the kid apologizes, dad is already there, so glad that he's home. And now, instead of putting him in timeout or putting him in solitary confinement, he says, get this kid some new clothes. Bring him some new tennies. Get him a switch. Well, actually, even that father couldn't have gotten a switch. They're all sold out right now. But he would have said, let me make sure you know. You are my son. You are my child. And you always will be. Oh, we want to learn from him to be gracious enough to forgive and embrace not just our kids, but all those around us. I love this line, grace is the grease of relationships. And most of us dads need to be more greasy. Sometimes, dad, we get in the mold of, I've got to be the tough one. But boy, this father here certainly broke that mold. Instead of saying, I told you so, his line was, I love you so. And can I add two more? This father was also fun enough to celebrate good things. As soon as the boy gets back, here's what the dad says. Hey, listen, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Man, a father's affirmation is so important. When something good happens with your kids, celebrate it. Do the happy dance. This father ends up with music and dancing, the scripture tells us. And realize that this celebrating of a kid who had done this is something that we still get to do. My advice is be a party dad. Be a dad who says, whoa, man, you got to be in that class. Let's celebrate with an ice cream cone. Be the dad that says, wow, you tied both of your shoes. It's party time, mac and cheese tonight. Now, dads, you may be thinking, oh, come on, that's not me. Well, please don't be the dad who came up to me at a conference on parenting and said, Pastor, I need advice. I'm constantly trying to help my son. He just makes stupid choices. And so all the time I'm telling him, no, 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 and he never listens to me. I didn't know how to say to this big guy, if somebody always only says no, 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 no to you, would you want to listen to him? What I really should have asked him was, hey, buddy, are you ever fun with your son? Are you ever a fun dad? I'm not saying every dad's going to put on a party hat and dance on chairs in a restaurant, like me. But I believe that every dad can celebrate, every mom, every grandpa, every grandma, every adult in that kid's life can be one who's willing to be a bit of a kid to celebrate. We're almost done. There's one more character. This movie's not quite over yet. Oh, it'd be a great closing shot with a father dancing with a prodigal son saying, "He's home, my son is home." But instead, the last scene of this story is the older brother who's outside, angry and frustrated that his younger brother not only took half the inheritance, but then came back and now dad is spending more on him on this big party. He even killed a fatted calf. You know that one, right? Somebody said, who was the most sad person when the prodigal son came home? One kid said, it had to be the oldest brother. And another said, no, sadder than that was the fatted calf. Sorry, I had to do that in honor of Dudley's dad. That's definitely a Dean Rutherford joke. This man, this father, cared enough, write it down, to reach out to everyone. The Bible said the older brother had become angry and refused to go in. Maybe he'd seen his dad run and thought, oh my goodness, I'm not even going to go to this party for this jerk, this loser, this prodigal. So the father does something interesting. And again, let me go to the teaching monitor and show you this verse. The Bible says the older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father, you see these two words, went out. Once again, culture. The culture was that that father would have sent a servant. Go bring my older son in. I want him here. But this father, he breaks all that culture down and he goes out to the sulking and, right now, sinful son. The father had put out the word, come on, we've got to celebrate. And this son refused. Hear that language. This boy is not Mr. Snowy White. This boy is the guy that says, well, I've always gone to church and I've always done what's right. I don't know why you don't give me a kid, goat, right? He says, to celebrate with my friends. He's got his lips stuck out and he's saying, pounding his chest, I'm the good boy. Why don't you affirm me? Now, he's not a perfect father, is he? But he is a wise father. Because do you know what he says to the boy? He says, listen, everything I have is yours. And then this line, my son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You realize, of course, this person in this story is really a figure of God, right? You and I are the prodigal sons. Take your pick, whichever one you are this week. But this picture of the nature of God who says, I am a God who doesn't want to leave anybody outside the party, who doesn't want anyone, whoever you may see on your TV screens during your COVID stay-at-home time, that makes you go, oh my word, I can't believe. For some of you, that's a politician. For others of you, that's a protester. For some of us, that's a rioter. For some of us, that's a policeman. For some of us, well, it's just another ad on TV. Whoever it is that causes you to say, oh man, here's what God's saying about that person. Please, somebody, tell them there's a party they're invited to and it's called salvation. Please, somebody, let them know that I love them so dearly. Our Heavenly Father wants a big party and He wants you in there too, which is why lifting up and sharing Jesus is so important. Well, there's the story. There's the six principles. I don't know which one you needed the most. But if you're sitting out there saying, man, Pastor Jeff, I wish I'd had a dad like that. I never had a dad like that. Okay. Well, then you need to know this. You've been adopted by a dad like that. A youth minister I know, his father, when he graduated from Bible college, he was working youth ministry during the summer at a church in an urban center. And he bought him a new car. Oh, the kid was so thrilled with it. I mean, just a little Toyota, but still, it was a new car. And he told me that he pulled up to get a kid, pick up a kid at his house who couldn't come to the youth event because he didn't have a ride. And he said, I'll swing by and pick you up. Well, the kid walked out from a poorer side of town house. and sat down in the car and looked around. It had all the gadgets, all the coolest, best stuff, and it even smelled new. The kid said, "Wow, whose car is this?" And the youth minister said, "Well, it's actually mine." "No way. You bought a car like this?" He said, "Well, I didn't. My dad gave it to me." And he said he'd never forget watching that kid as a look came over his face and he looked at the car. And the kid said, "Man, I wish I had a dad like that." My father wasn't perfect. Neither was yours. But Dad's the greatest legacy we can give our kids is a legacy of just trying to love enough. Because we do have the perfect Father. As the scripture says in the book of 1 John, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." I told you God didn't have any kids. Pardon me, Jesus didn't have any kids. But he sure has a whole bunch of brothers and sisters because our Heavenly Father is dying to adopt you. I close with showing you what I found at the house. Well, actually, my sister found it and sent it to me. It's a picture of my dad when about the time he had his first kid, my older brother. In fact, here, we've got a larger version of it here. My dad was a pastor. A lot like Dudley, I share that I grew up in a pastor's house. He wasn't perfect. Sometimes I wished he'd said something to me that maybe he didn't. Other times I think he wanted to be more like him and I wasn't. But the greatest legacy that my father left for me is there was never a day in my life that I doubted how much he loved God, how much he trusted in Christ, and that he would give everything he had for me. Happy Father's Day, dads. Let's give that legacy to our children. And if you're out there and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, maybe your dad pointed you in the wrong direction, or maybe you don't even know who he is. Whether you're a senior or whether you're a senior in high school, all you need to do is text the word Jesus to the number on this screen. And there are folks there who will love to talk with you, pray with you, share with you, whether you need to confess a burden or you need to say, "I want to give my life to Jesus." Put it this way, God's got the adoption papers all drawn up. All you have to do is say, "Yes, Heavenly Father, I'd like to be part of your family." And he's ready to sign in red ink the color of the blood of Christ. Bow with me. Father, would you bless us all, especially those who need to respond to this message of hope and grace. Bless us as fathers, bless us as children, and come, Lord Jesus, heal our world. And in Christ's name, we all pray and say, amen. God bless you. Lift up Jesus.